Matthew 13, and here we find a parable, and we're going to spend just a little bit of time talking about the parable, but I want to point out just one major emphasis found in this particular parable that Jesus is giving to His disciples. Matthew chapter 13, we find Jesus on the seaside preaching to a great multitude. In fact, He gets in the ship because there's such a great throng of people. He gets in the ship and He teaches from the ship this great multitude that is sitting on the shore. And He teaches them various things, but He teaches them in parables. Now, a parable is just simply an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. So the Lord is taking, using an illustration, a physical illustration, such as using seeds or earthly illustrations, agricultural illustrations, and illustrating biblical truth with those illustrations. It's a parable, an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And so He teaches them, and then when He gets done, He sends the multitude away in verse 34 and 35, and the disciples come to Him in verse 36 and ask Him to tell Him or to teach them what the parables meant. What did these parables mean? And He answered them in verse 37 and gave the answer of what the parable concerning the wheat and the tares was. But as you work your way down, you find that He also gives them another parable in verse 44. And He's just speaking to His disciples here. He says, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which the, when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field." And He goes on to illustrate again. "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it." I want to emphasize verse 44. Both verse 44, 45, 46 are all emphasizing the same truth. Verse 44 again, He says, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure." Unto treasure. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for this time we have. We come and worship You to gather around Your Word. We do pray this morning as we emphasize Your Word and the precious treasure that it is, that Lord, that You would glorify and help us and edify the body today that's gathered here today. And we ask this in Your name. Amen. As we think about the treasure spoken of here, and I'll go ahead and tell you, the treasure is the Word of God, as it's spoken of in this parable. But we also think of the Word of God. We think about the Word of God. But we also think about the living Word of God, which is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is a wonderful, wonderful treasure. And the Bible, a wonderful, wonderful treasure. The written Word, as well as the living Word. Everyone with me? We have the written Word of God, which we hold in our hands this morning, the inspired, inerrant, the very Word of God. Aren't you glad that the God of the universe communicated to us? What if He hadn't? What if He hadn't? We wouldn't know. We wouldn't have this truth, but we have it. We have it in our hands. We have the very words of God, and we can read them. It's amazing. What if He had written and hadn't written to us in a language we could understand? Aren't you glad we have it? We have it not only in many other languages, but we have it in English. The inspired, the inerrant, the very words of God. A wonderful treasure. And then we think about the living Word of God, which is Jesus Christ Himself. And what a wonderful treasure that He is. And that He came and died on the cross for us and rose again the third day. And what a treasure we have. And we think about also the treasure of heaven. One day we'll be all, those of us who have accepted Christ as Savior, those who have placed their faith and trust in Jesus, will one day get to experience the wonderful treasure of eternal life in heaven. In heaven. I'm looking forward to heaven. I'm opportunity the last few months to preach on it a couple times now, or at least to emphasize it. Heaven's a wonderful place. I'm looking forward to that. I think about that for the treasure that Christ is for us. A treasure, as we think about treasure, we think about something of great value, gold or silver or jewels. It also, the word treasure means something useful or necessary. We think about in the Bible refers to, in several sections, especially in the Old Testament, refers to treasure as wheat and barley, referring to these things as treasure because they're necessary. I'm glad we have wheat, barley, and roast and mashed potatoes. Those are necessary. Treasure. When you think of treasure, usually we think of treasure in abundance. In other words, when we think about particular movies, we think about them finding treasure and opening up the treasure chest, and inside of it is not one little coin at the bottom of the treasure chest, but there's multitudes of the treasure. There's multitudes of the coins. There's multitudes of rubies and diamonds and emeralds and on and on and on. It's a treasure not only it's one of great value and necessary, but usually it's found in abundance, right? I mean, I would like to find one little gold coin, but I'd like a lot better to find 500 of them. Treasure. Treasures are sought after, and there are many. And I know some of you've watched TV, and I enjoy the History Channel and some of these other channels that give a lot of things about history. And many times I've sat down to watch a historical event about finding treasure and some of these treasures that they think they've located, but it's in a trap, 100 feet down, and every time they get down, the water fills. Anyway, some of the stuff I watched. But treasure is something, again, that's sought after. Lives have been lost trying to find treasure. Somebody finds a treasure map, and man, and here we go, X marked the spot, and let's go find the treasure, and lives are lost because of it. I always think about the old Sinbad movies. I'm talking about the old ones, in the 60s and 70s, then the way that they were just high quality films, weren't they? And I think about them going and finding those various things, and it's intriguing to me. Treasures always intriguing to everyone. You find a treasure map, X marks a spot. Everybody wants to find a treasure, treasure island. We think about so many other things when we think about treasure. Treasure is sought after. I'm glad today that we have a treasure that's unlike any other treasure, unlike any other thing of. Or person of value, is the treasure of all treasures. And by the way, we have the greatest treasure map of all times in your hand. A great map. We have maps that lead to the treasure. The Bible is that map. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. As we think about Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and Adam took of the fruit willfully, and of course, was approached by the Lord in the garden and said, who told you we were naked? And Adam admitted freely that he had taken of the fruit. And God judged them. God cursed Eve. God cursed Adam. God cursed the serpent. When he cursed Eve, I want you to turn there real quick. We're not going to spend a whole lot of time because I know our members have heard this many, many times. But there's so many people here who haven't. As we think about this map, this treasure map, that leads to the treasure. That treasure is the living Word of God, Jesus Christ. Our map is the Word of God. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 14, and the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. Verse 15, and you've heard me quote it many times, but I want you to look at it. So he is cursing the serpent, he said, and I will put enmity, I'll put war, a struggle between thee, Satan, and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. This is the first prophecy we have concerning our treasure, the Lord Jesus Christ, in which they are told that Adam and Eve were told that one day one would come who would remedy their fallen condition. And there would be a struggle from that point, from Genesis 3:15. From that point on, there would be a struggle between Satan's seed and the woman's seed. And that seed, Galatians tells us, we won't turn over there now. If you want to go read it, you can. But in Galatians, in the New Testament, it tells us that seed is singular because instead of plural, because that seed is speaking of Jesus Christ. The seed, the struggle that is between Satan and the woman's seed, that seed is Jesus Christ. That seed. Genesis chapter 12, Abraham comes on the scene. He had 2,000 years after the beginning and of man and the creation of the universe. Abraham comes on the scene. Abraham is told by God that through him, that seed, singular, would come. He said, I will bless them that bless thee, I will curse them that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Adam, the Abrahamic covenant was given to Abraham that through his seed, and read Genesis chapter 15 as well, and many other areas where this seed is spoken of, this through him the Messiah would come. Through him the promised seed would come. And when Jacob, so you have Abraham, Isaac was given the same promise. Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel, everyone following me? Even if you don't, you can still follow the line here. Abraham, who became the first Jew, right? God made a covenant with Abraham, who became the first, he wasn't born a Jew, he became a Jew. Abraham, Isaac, his son, was given the same promise that through his seed, singular, the promised Messiah would come, the one who would remedy their fallen condition, the one who would cure the sin problem in their life, that through his seed the Messiah would come, Isaac. And then Jacob, his son, was given that same promise. Jacob's name was turned to Israel. And Israel had 12 sons. And when Jacob was about to die, the Bible says he gathered his sons together in Genesis chapter 49 so that he could give them their parting gifts. Some of them weren't very kind, but he would give them their blessing. And so he began to go through the children. And when he got to Judah, one of his children, he made a promise. He gave the promise there in Genesis chapter 49 that through Judah the Messiah would come. So Jacob had 12 sons, but the promise was to come through Judah. And talked about the lion and the lion's whelp and the scepter should not depart from him and so forth. And you can go read that yourself as well. Genesis chapter 49 verse 7 and 8. Then as we go on, we find the same promise is given to David, who was of the tribe of Judah. The same promise was given to David. What a wonderful promise that was given to him. Turn to 2 Samuel chapter 7. I do want you to see this one. 2 Samuel chapter 7. This promise, and you can follow, and I have preached a message from this pulpit on the seed from Genesis to Revelation. It's a wonderful study. 2 Samuel chapter 7. The promise given to David. Let's start in verse 8. Now therefore, so shalt thou say unto my servant David. Now this is God speaking to Nathan the prophet, telling Nathan the prophet to go speak to David. And so he tells Nathan, he says, now therefore so shalt thou say unto my servant David, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people, over Israel. So God took David, a shepherd, following the sheep, and made him king over Israel. Verse 9, and I was with thee whithersoever thou wentest, and I have cut off all thine enemies out of thy sight, and have made thee a great name, like unto the name of the great men that are in the earth. Verse 10, moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and I will plant them, that they may dwell in the place of their own, and move no more, neither shall the children of the wickedness afflict them any more as before times. And as since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people, Israel, and have caused thee to rest from all thine enemies, also the Lord telleth thee that he will make thee an house. Verse 12. And when the days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom, and he shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Now that's a dynasty. I will be his father, verse 14, and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men, and with the stripes of the children of men. But my mercy shall not depart away from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. So unlike Saul, when Saul, who was the first king of Israel, when he sinned, God took the kingdom away from Saul. But from David's seed, he will not take it away. Verse 16, and thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever. Now, is Solomon going to live forever? No. But that seed will last forever. Look there again, verse 16. And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. Real quick, just for those who love to get shocked by the Word of God. Psalm 132. Psalm 132, verse 11. Psalm 130. I know I'm having you turn a little bit. Lick your thing. And then turn over there. Psalm 132, verse 11. If you're not turning, you can listen. So I've just read to you Nathan the prophet telling David that through him, again, that his kingdom would be established, not just Solomon, but his kingdom would be established forever. Forever. Verse 11, Psalm 132. The Lord hath sworn in truth unto David. He will not turn from it. Of the fruit of thy body will, what does it say? I set upon thy throne. That's so cool. It's talking about the Lord. I will set upon thy throne. The Lord is going to set upon the throne of David. Why is David's kingdom established forever? Because the Messiah, the King of the Jews, the Messiah, the Lord of all, is going to set on the throne of David. The Bible tells that in the New Testament, as well as the Old, that one day the Lord will return. I'm glad that one day He is going to return for His saints. The rapture is going to take place, and we'll be caught up together with Him in the clouds, 1 Thessalonians and 1 Corinthians tells us. And the trumpet's going to sound, we're out of here. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain will be caught up, raptured out to be with Him in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. The Bible says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. 1 Corinthians 15 tells us that we shall be changed in the moment of the twinkling of an eye at the last trump. Will be raised incorruptible. It's going to be a wonderful, wonderful time. Amen? That is when Christ returns for His saints. But 7 years after the rapture, 7 years after we're caught up to be with Him in the air, those who have been saved, those who have been born again, will be caught up with Him, both dead and alive. 7 years after the rapture, He will come with His saints. Not for His saints, but with His saints. And we will return. And that great battle, the battle of Armageddon, will take place. And the Lord will defeat all the enemies of the world at that time. And He will usher in a millennial kingdom. And He, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, will set upon the throne of David. I will set upon the throne. And there Jesus Christ from the city of Jerusalem upon the throne of David will rule and reign forever and ever. Amen. That's it. That promise was given to Abraham. That promise was given to Isaac. That promise was given to Jacob. That promise was given to Judah. That promise was given to David. That seed from Genesis 3:15 all the way through. You can follow the treasure map. You can see the seed coming. You can see it. You can see it through Adam and Eve's sons. And then on down through, you can watch the Messiah as He comes. And then 2,000 years later, He appears. 2,000 years ago, He appeared. The Messiah, the promised seed. The seed of David. The seed of Abraham. Calvary. X marks the spot. The cross was X marks the spot. And 3 days later, the Lord rose again from the dead. That's our treasure map. And the trail leads all the way from Genesis 3:15 all the way to the cross and then to the tomb and then into heaven where He rose again from the dead. What a treasure we have. The Bible is our map. Psalm 119 verse 105 says, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I'm glad I know that the Scripture is my map. It leads me to the Lord Jesus Christ. It leads me to salvation. It leads me to eternal life. But also leads me to an abundant life here on earth. I'm glad that Jesus Christ didn't come just to save us from our sins and from the wrath of God and save us from hell. But He came to give us life. And He said that life He gives is more abundant. It's a life more abundant. It's a life of joy. joy unspeakable and full of glory. What a life He gives us. The Bible is our map. Not only is the Bible our map, but I want to remind you today that we are maps. The Bible, Jesus said, I am the light of the world, and He said, you are the light of the world. Let us be reminded that we are to be ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we are living testimonies of the Messiah. We are living testimonies of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we need to shine our light. We need to shine the light of the Lord Jesus Christ wherever we're at home, at work, with our neighbors. We need to be followers, if you would, as Paul was a follower of Jesus Christ. In fact, Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. In Corinthians, Paul says, hey, follow in His steps. And as we follow Jesus, and as we walk in His steps, we pray that others would be led to the Lord as well, right? And by the way, you can't just live the life, and that's wonderful and fine, and that's number one on the list. But number two, you've got to tell somebody. Lifestyle evangelism is paramount and very, very important. But confrontational soul winning is just as important. You've got to tell them, and verbally tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Follow me, Paul said, as I follow Christ. Our map is the Scripture. Our map is the Word of God. So in this treasure, we have the map. And again, what is the treasure? Let me describe the treasure a little bit for you. Number one, it's a peculiar treasure. A peculiar treasure. In other words, nothing like it. Nothing like it. It's treasure beyond all treasures. Nothing's to be compared to it. It's like comparing pearls to pebbles, you know. It's like comparing gold to crayons. Like comparing diamonds to corn. I like corn. Like comparing silver to aluminum. There's no comparison. Christ is like a peculiar treasure. Original. Not only that, but it's a precious treasure. In other words, it's of infinite value. Of infinite value. Hang with me now. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1, it says, for as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver or gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with what? The precious blood of Jesus Christ. Listen, I am not redeemed. I am not purchased by silver or gold, but I am been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. His blood, His precious blood, His perfect blood cleanseth me from all my sins. Not only is, again, that precious treasure, His blood, but His precious treasure of His promises. Remember the verse there in 2 Peter chapter 1 says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and what? Precious promises. I'm glad today that in the treasure, in the written treasure, I have wonderful and great and perfect promises that have been given to me by the Lord Jesus Christ. One is that of salvation, that if I put my faith and trust in Him, I can have eternal life. That I can escape the wrath of God, which is hell, and have a home in heaven. I'm so thankful for that promise. But I'm given so many other promises. Promises of that He would never leave me nor forsake me. Promises that He will supply all my needs. Promises over and over and over again that the Lord gives us. And these are precious promises. Hebrews tells us He has to keep them. Because if He doesn't, He's not God. God does not lie. And He keeps every promise. And those who believe, the Bible says, for those who believe, He is precious. 1 Peter 2:7 says, unto you therefore which believe, He is precious. But unto them, it goes on to say that He is a rock or a stumbling stone. A rock of offense. But unto you who believe, unto us who accept Him as the Messiah, unto us who come to the treasure and believed and trusted in Him, He is precious. Is He precious this morning to you? He is precious. In fact, He is so precious that Paul, who was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, Paul who had sat at the feet of Gamaliel and been taught by one of the greatest Pharisees of all time, a man who was of leadership and honor and a man of wealth, and he said in Philippians chapter 3, he said, I counted all things but loss. Why? That I may win Christ. In fact, he said, he went on to say, I count them but dung. He said, in comparison to having Jesus Christ, all the things that I had are like sewer. What a comparison. What a comparison. Our Lord and Savior, a precious, precious treasure. Not only is our treasure peculiar and precious, but I'm thankful it's free. Lots of people have given their lives trying to find earthly treasure. Lots of people have given their lives working for treasure, working for this life and gaining and accumulating things. But the treasure we have that was given to us is given to us by the Lord Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. I'm glad that salvation's free. I'm glad salvation's free. I'm glad salvation's free. Salvation's free for you and me. I'm glad salvation's free. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift. It's free. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Salvation is a gift. It's free. Not only is a peculiar treasure precious and free, but it's an enriching treasure. Those who have this treasure are made rich. Can I just say, and I'm very brief about this, that if you have Christ, you have enough. In fact, I would say to you, if you have Christ, you have it all. The treasure that He gives us is endless. The treasure He gives us is boundless. The treasure He gives us is enriching. We think about Luke chapter 16, the rich man Lazarus. The Bible says the rich man died and found himself in hell. Lazarus, who was a beggar, died and found himself in Abraham's bosom, in paradise. Though the rich man had everything in this life, he found himself in hell in the next life. And though the Lazarus had nothing in this life, he found in the next life he had everything. Can I remind you that all this life will soon be passed, all that once done for Christ will last. That this life is just a vapor that appeareth for a little while and vanisheth away. That we're just pilgrims passing through this world of sin on our way to that fair city. Amen? When the saints go marching in. Listen, we have an enriching treasure, a boundless treasure, an endless treasure. And we have an enduring treasure, a treasure that never fades. I don't know about you, but we don't have much silver in my house. But a few years ago, I was down in Mexico and bought some Hispanic coins, silver coins. And I still have a few of them left. And when silver gets as much as gold, I'll trade them in. Anyway, but those coins don't take long. You put them anywhere, and they begin to fade. Even though they're silver, they begin to fade. And we know this in everything. Everything has to be polished. My wife's wedding stuff and all the nice jewelry I bought her over the years. all the nice stuff I bought her over the years. All the nice things I bought her over the years. All the jewelry that I bought her over the years, until jewelry got so high the last few years because gold's gotten so high. Every once in a while she has to go and have those cleaned, right? Or clean them at the house. But they get gunky. All right? The luster fades. The luster fades. I'm glad that this treasure we're given by the Lord Jesus Christ never fades. In fact, it never tarnishes. It never gets dirty. It's absolutely endures forever. Never can be lost. I'm glad today that when I got saved eternally. We do believe, and the Bible teaches, in a salvation that is forever. That tonight when I lay down my head at night and I close my eyes, I don't have to be concerned whether or not I'm going to heaven or not. And whether or not I thought a bad thought, and therefore, because I thought a bad thought, God's going to, if He takes me out in the night, I'm not going to heaven. No, I can lay my head down at night and know that for sure I'm going to heaven. I have that joy and knowledge of having everlasting life. See, salvation is not a hope-so. Salvation is a know-so. John said, these things have I written unto you that you might know that you have eternal life. The salvation, this promise, these riches, this treasure we're given can never be lost. It can never be taken away from us. It's given to us forever. Thus, the word eternal life. And not, you know, part life. It's eternal. It's forever. And what a treasure we have. If you would, I don't know if you're still in Matthew or not, but turn to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19 and we'll be done this morning. Matthew chapter 6. Very familiar passage to most of you. Jesus speaking again. Sermon on the Mount. Telling His disciples. He says this to them. He says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasure upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, or where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." When we were gone, we had a couple of things stolen out of our vehicle. And some of that stuff was my son's stuff. And over the years, and Brother Clark's not here, I would use him as an illustration. I think they're sick today. But over the years, I've used the term, "it's just money." You ever use that? You know, "it's just stuff. It's just money." And I've used that with my kids. We've emphasized that. It's just stuff. It's just money. It's a tool to be used, right? And so when I get back from our little trip and get back to Caleb and tell him, "hey, this stuff's been stolen of yours," it wasn't a big deal to him. I've seen people get stuff stolen or get something lost or whatever and just flip out. I mean, just flip out. I'm glad my son has the wherewithal to say, "you know what, Dad, it's just stuff." You know what it is? It's just stuff. By the way, your stuff is just stuff. It's stuff. Don't lay up yourselves treasures here where moth and rust doth corrupt and thieves break through and steal. And every thief ought to be shot. You want to take somebody else's stuff? I'm sorry, I have a little different view when it comes to punishment. But lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven where moth and rust do not corrupt and thieves can't break through and steal. Boy, let's invest in eternity. Let's don't get wrapped up in our own stuff. Let's invest in things that last forever, such as winning other people to Jesus Christ, such as being kind to one another, such as being kind to your neighbor, such as being kind to that person at work. Invest in things that are going to last for eternity. Invest in the work here at the church. Invest in things that will last for eternity. There, where your heart is, there's your treasure also. I'm glad my heart, and God's done this for me. It's not just me, but my son, a good example. His heart's not bound up in his stuff. If the stuff's gone, okay, we'll find a way to replace it, if it needs to be replaced. It's just stuff. But the treasure we have in heaven is eternal. It's a peculiar treasure. There's nothing like it. It's a precious treasure. It's a free treasure. It's an enduring treasure. It lasts forever. It's an enriching treasure. In other words, it affects our lives. It enriches our lives. Listen, you must find it. And here's the map. You can simply step out of your chair. We're going to sing a song here in a minute called "An Invitation." And when we're inviting you, we're inviting you to come to the front. And someone down here, one of our workers, will show you from the map how you can have eternal life, how you can have this wonderful treasure. And in finding this treasure, you find joy. Joy. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. As a Christian, as a born-again believer, when you find the treasure, you find joy. How's your joy this morning? Amen? And then we should take the Scriptures. We should hide them in our hearts. We should take the Scripture and share it with others. We should share the treasure. Our treasure is not meant to be kept all to ourselves. It's meant to be given to others and shared with others. Let's all stand. What a wonderful treasure we have. I have a wonderful treasure. The gift of God without measure. As we travel together, my Bible and I, the living and the written Word of God is our treasure. Head bowed and eyes closed for just a moment. We're going to sing a song in just a moment. I want to ask you a question this morning. Do you have this treasure? Do you have this treasure? I think about that when I was 6 years old and I accepted Christ as my Savior and what a difference it's made in my life ever since. Not only knowing I have an eternal home, but knowing that now I have a life with purpose, a life, an abundant life. I hope that you have experienced that salvation. Christian, this morning, you have a wonderful, precious, enriching, enduring treasure. Let's be reminded this morning that we should share that treasure with others. That we should not hide it, but we should share it. And we should experience that treasure, not just in heaven, but here now, in having a life of joy. And what a great and precious promise that He has given us. Lord, we thank You this morning for Your love for us. What a blessing it is to know You as our Savior and to have this wonderful treasure. I pray this morning if there's someone here who has not accepted You as Savior, who has not taken the treasure, I pray that they would do so today. Help us, Lord, to remember the precious promises that You've given us, just how wonderful they are. And I pray that we not take it for granted. We thank You for the treasure that You've given us. In Jesus' name, amen.